Science and Health, Chapter 2. Atonement and Eucharist. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Paul. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Paul. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Jesus. Atonement is the exemplification of man's unity with God, whereby man reflects divine truth, life, and love. Jesus of Nazareth taught and demonstrated man's oneness with the Father, and for this we owe him endless homage. His mission was both individual and collective. He did life's work aright not only in justice to himself, but in mercy to mortals to show them how to do theirs, but not to do it for them nor to relieve them of a single responsibility. Jesus acted boldly against the accredited evidence of the senses, against Pharisaical creeds and practices, and he refuted all opponents with his healing power. The atonement of Christ reconciles man to God, not God to man. For the divine principle of Christ is God, and how can God propitiate himself? Christ is truth, which reaches no higher than itself. The fountain can rise no higher than its source. Christ, truth, could conciliate no nature above his own, derived from the eternal love. It was therefore Christ's purpose to reconcile man to God, not God to man. Love and truth are not at war with God's image and likeness. Man cannot exceed divine love and so atone for himself. Even Christ cannot reconcile truth to error, for truth and error are irreconcilable. Jesus aided in reconciling man to God by giving man a truer sense of love, the divine principle of Jesus' teachings. And this truer sense of love redeems man from the law of matter, sin, and death by the law of spirit, the law of divine love. The Master forbore not to speak the whole truth, declaring precisely what would destroy sickness, sin, and death, although his teaching set households at variance and brought to material beliefs not peace, but a sword. Every pang of repentance and suffering, every effort for reform, every good thought and deed will help us to understand Jesus' atonement for sin and aid its efficacy. But if the sinner continues to pray and repent, sin and be sorry, he has little part in the atonement, in the at-one-ment with God, for he lacks the practical repentance which reforms the heart and enables man to do the will of wisdom. Those who cannot demonstrate at least in part the divine principle of the teachings and practice of our Master have no part in God. If living in disobedience to him, we ought to feel no security, although God is good. Jesus urged the commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," which may be rendered, "Thou shalt have no belief of life as mortal. Thou shalt not know evil, for there is one life, even God good." He rendered unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. He at last paid no homage to forms of doctrine or to theories of man, but acted and spake as he was moved, not by spirits, but by spirit.